Jeff and Eric are best friends, as only two film critics could be. They bonded over movies and the Portland rain. It's the kind of romance only seen on TV. Then one day Jeff had to move away to far off San Diego, where it's sunny every day. Eric had to cry, he said, why, oh why? We have to find a way to make sure our friendship doesn't die. We'll have a long-distance relationship, the kind you see on TV so you know it's legit. We'll watch our movies alone and then we'll meet online, record ourselves a podcast and everything will be fine. Now we have Movie BS with Eric D. Snyder and Jeff Mayer. It's Movie BS. These critics are best friends forever.
Hello and welcome to Movie BS with Baron Snyder. I'm your host, Jeff Bayer. Along with me, my sidekick, Eric D. Snyder.
Hello, I'm the host of Movie BS with Baron Snyder. My name's Eric D. Snyder. That there is my sidekick, Jeff Bayer. Jeff Too Tall Bayer, as they call him.
Eric Paul Schaefer D. Snyder.
Ah!
Oh, that is.
You like my Paul Schaefer impression?
I don't think I'm going to miss that.
No, he's an amazing musician and an amazing band leader. I guess as a human being, sure, I don't know.
But salt of the earth.
Every time he opens his mouth on Letterman's show, I just want him to shut up. He just interrupts. If I were Dave, I'd constantly be saying, shut up, Paul. Quit interrupting me. Shut up. Quit making your noises.
I feel like that's what he used to do. And then it was just like, Paul is not getting through to Paul.
But surely a man like Dave could make Paul do what he wants to.
Yes.
He apparently is okay with the way the show is or was The show's over. We have an iTunes review. Let's start off the show with an iTunes review.
That's how we always do it.
Every single time. If you go to iTunes and write a review of this podcast, we'll read it on the show in old-timey voice. And so here's this. The iTunes review has the subject, Jolly Good Old-Timey Fun. And it's from Birdie Critic 2010.
Hmm.
Does that mean he's like a critic of birds?
Yeah.
He goes around reviewing birds?
Oh, and not only that, the birds, very thin skin, so they can't really take it very well.
That's probably true, yeah.
Yeah, technically.
They are. No, I know they are very thin-skinned, yeah.
Right, that's why
they have the feathers, to protect their thin skin.
Mm-hmm. Feathers are really light. Did you know that?
Well, that's how they can fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the feathers are light, yeah.
Right.
All right, here's what Birdie Critic 2010 says. It's hard to imagine having so much fun listening to two people talk who are occasionally so wrong about movies. But these guys have the stuff. Bayer and Snyder know their stuff, even if their show is called BS. Can you imagine a better way to spend an afternoon trapped in an automobile in traffic, listening to old-time radio voice? Can you? Also, whatever happened to Bear's citrus mistress? Was she lost in the pig war? More Eric D. Snyder and Jeff Bayer, please. Bring on the BS. That's a reference, I believe, to two of your beers. I remember citrus mistress. Was pig war another beer?
Whew. Whew. That was a close one. What's that?
Was pig war another beer?
Yeah, pig war was a beer.
So I named two beers there, and you had no idea what I was talking about.
No.
Okay.
Well, I didn't actually.
For a man who cares so much about his special beers.
Hang on. Huh? When did you say pig beer? Did you say pig beer after
whatever happened to Bea's citrus mistress? Was she lost in the pig war?
Okay, that's the problem. You said citrus mistress, and I was gone. I was totally confused. I was like, I've been drinking Sprite? What is going on? I didn't understand.
Well, apparently we've learned how much you actually care about your special froofy beers.
Here's the thing. I have a hunch that we'll eventually get back to doing the show at night on occasion.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure to definitely enjoy. And maybe it's also just the fact that, San Diego beers, I'm just going to say it, they're a step below the Portland beers.
Portland's very proud of its beer.
San Diego's actually more proud because they don't even know Portland beer exists.
Well, that's weird. That's sad then, actually.
Yes.
Portland very proud of its beer and its beards.
Good point.
Yes, that's true. That's why Birdie Critic 2010, that's why there's been less mention of Bayer's beers, is because we've been doing the show in the early afternoon. And Bear, before 5 p.m., Bear is strictly a vodka man.
Because it's not on your breath.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what the movies. So actually, you don't even realize that's a tease for one of the movies we're talking about. Good job. You're so topical, right? Even accidentally.
So, yes, that's an iTunes review. Thank you very much, Birdie Critic 2010, for that review. Anyone, write us one, and we'll read it on the show.
And here's the thing. You guys might be feeling a little pressure. Don't feel any pressure. You don't have to write it for the old-time radio voice.
That's right.
The old-time radio voice is going to happen no matter what.
That's a bonus, yeah.
Sometimes it's even more humorous to write something that doesn't necessarily fit with old-time radio voice.
Just say what's on your mind. Express your true feelings about the show, as long as they're positive.
Right.
And let us take it from there. And now on with the show.
Tomorrowland.
Tomorrowland.
Can you imagine a place that is a land full of tomorrows?
I can't imagine that place. It sounds great. The way I imagine it, it's awesome. So much stuff in Tomorrowland.
There is, in fact, so much stuff in Tomorrowland. Mm-hmm. Yes.
For a minute. In the movie The Tomorrowland, for a minute, there's stuff.
Well, there's lots of stuff, don't you think?
Right.
Don't you think there's lots of stuff?
No, there is lots of stuff, but I mean The Tomorrowland in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we got cheated out of getting more Tomorrowland stuff.
That's like, weren't you for a while, weren't you like, oh, no. Is this a movie kind of like how Will Smith was supposedly in a movie, but it ended up just being his kid?
Oh, right.
And then it was like, is George Clooney really going to be spending time with us in this movie? Because it's starting to feel like he's not
to. It's funny. He's top billed because he's George Clooney, but he's not the lead character. The lead character is the teenage girl, Casey Newton.
Casey Newton.
Casey Newton, played by one Britt Robertson, who is 25 years old, by the way.
Yeah, but she's pulling off the young.
Does the teen thing, yeah.
In fact, I had actually forgotten that we had just seen her in, I don't know, was it The Longest Ride, Last Ride? Did you see that movie?
What?
Isn't that her?
I'm looking for it. Yeah, she was in The Longest Ride. Yes, that's right, she was. I did not remember that was her.
Playing somebody older. She's a chameleon of ages.
Yeah,
right.
I forgot that was her. So she's a teenage girl down in Cape Canaveral. Her dad's a NASA guy, kind of, and she's she's a science buff. And
you know how we know this? Because she can switch a wire for her dad, who's a NASA engineer trying to build something.
Yeah, had the thing clamped to the wrong thing, and she moved it. So she likes science,
and she proves it by that one case. And then,
well, she's also very interested in what's going on over at the NASA thing, and
she is, and she was able to, that's true, she was able to rig her app on her iPhone
to do
surveillance stuff.
Point is, she finds this
she
finds this pin, this souvenir from the 1964 World's Fair, and this pin, when she touches it, she sees Tomorrowland, which is apparently a sort of an altered dimension. Apparently.
Good gosh. I guess.
Which I enjoyed. I like that it occupies the same physical space as where we are here on Earth. But different dimension. And this is what I mean. That's Tomorrowland she sees. It's a bright, gleaming future of what you would expect to hear Tomorrowland. Jetpacks and gravity pools. What?
It's a great, big, beautiful
tomorrow. That's exactly what it is.
I love that song, and I own that song.
Good for you.
And it was nice to hear.
It's a Disney classic. And she sees that place, and you're like, oh, this is awesome. Because we see some of the people who are there, and we're like, oh, it's going to be like a future academy or something. And here's some
right. –
And then the movie doesn't deliver us that, doesn't give us that.
The movie desperately wants to be bleak. Desperately.
Well,
don't you think?
Ultimately, no. I mean, ultimately it wants to be super optimistic and hopeful.
I'm sorry. It desperately wants to give you the feeling of bleakness with a sliver of hope. And what's really weird is the way that they go about this is we have the wanting Casey. She like wants to believe. She wants to be hopeful.
She's optimistic, and she's optimistic and hopeful, and yes, all that.
She spends all of her time asking questions and not believing things. and it's exhausting. She does the whole wait, what? Wait, what's going on?
Well, she does that. She asks, she believes, but nobody will explain it to her. Nobody explains it to her.
This is the problem, right? There's tons of unnecessary mystery with this movie. Like, tons.
The movie takes a long time. It's when there's a point where you finally realize, like, okay, what the movie's about, where it's going, what is happening here, and it's an hour and 35 minutes into it. Like, the movie's almost over by the time we kind of get to where this is what's happening.
So they have a recruiter named Athena. She's even younger than Casey.
She's the one that goes around giving out these pins to attract the elite.
And then we have Frank Walker, who was young and full of potential, but then, you know, something happened to him that made him a little jaded, but he's still full of potential.
He had a,
even though he's a little closed off to the world.
Had a Tomorrowland experience as a child, and now he's, yeah. What?
I don't know why that sounded weird.
He had a Tomorrowland experience.
He had a Tomorrowland experience with Hugh Laurie, and they asked him to leave.
He was asked to leave Tomorrowland.
Did you recognize the kid, by the way? For a second, I thought I couldn't remember, and I was like, oh, is that the kid from Iron Man 3?
Oh, the young Frank? Yeah, from Looper. From Looper.
Oh, is that where you went? I went with The Switch, because I thought he and Jason Bateman had really good chemistry in that movie that many people did not care for. Do you remember that movie with Jennifer Aniston, the sperm movie?
It wasn't called The Switch. It was The Switch Up.
Oh.
Or maybe it was called The Switch. Anyway, that kid was not in that movie.
Are you what?
Pierce Gagnon?
Hang on a second.
He was the kid in Looper. I'm looking at his list right here. He was in The Way Home, Crazies, Looper.
Oh, here's the problem.
Wish I Was Here.
On IMDb, I clicked the wrong one. I clicked the other kid. He is the kid from The Switch is in this movie.
Oh, is he the little brother?
And he's one below on IMDb from Thomas Robinson, Pierce Gagnon.
Oh, sorry. You know, I said it wrong. No, you're right.
What's going on?
I was wrong. Yes.
What's wrong about what?
Pierce Gagnon plays the plays the little brother. He plays Casey's younger brother.
What movie is he?
He's the one that was in Looper. Young Frank. Played by Thomas Robinson, yes, who was in The Switch. So we were talking about two different boys. Ooh. There's two young boys in this movie.
Okay.
Who actually, now that I look at it, look the same.
So here's the thing. With this journey, like, they have to get to certain places and everything else like that. And you don't have a reason to be on this adventure.
Right, because we don't know what they're trying to do because Casey doesn't know. We know that we're following along, and I think it's kind of fun. Some of the adventures are fun. But yeah, we don't know what the goal is really for a long time.
And some people show up, and you're just like, oh, is this going to be the summer of Keegan-Michael Key?
Right.
Is it because he's in it? And then you're like, ooh, that was an uncomfortable, annoying scene.
And Catherine Hahn. I like that scene, actually.
Oh, I didn't care for it with the switch and everything. It felt way too Men in Black shtick of like, oh, I'm acting one way and I'll switch. But anyway, the bad guys in general, almost near like pointless. It's almost like they were trying to do like a kid's Matrix vibe didn't feel like anything. And not only that, did you just constantly go like, well, wait, who are these bad guys? What is their goal? What's the point of that?
Well,
give the movie fake energy is how it feels to me.
We don't know what the main character's goal is. And so we know that these bad guys are trying to stop them, but we don't know what it is they're trying to stop them from doing. And it's just, as they're going along on whatever their journey is, they got to have someone chasing them apparently.
It feels like a good film, but how did you feel about the banter? I felt like George Clooney did not work well with these two.
As far as the
shtick of like, let's try to keep it light and entertaining as we move along on this adventure.
I liked all the main performances well enough.
Really?
What it feels like to me, the whole thing feels to me like a Spielberg movie with the awe and wonder removed. Like it looks amazing, and it looks like it ought to be one of those futuristic glimpse of the future and optimism and all American and all that. But it's strangely unsentimental and almost mechanical. Yeah. So we said we get like speeches about how we have a responsibility to make a better future. And so I wind up agreeing with, I like the ideas of the movie better than I like the movie.
Yes. Very much so.
But I mostly enjoyed the journey as far as it goes.
That was the thing. When a famous structure has a significant change in the movie, mm-hmm. I know I'm supposed to be like full of wonder and right. amazement, and it just did not exist. And I felt like I'm assuming it's PG-13.
Yeah.
It's PG. It's PG.
Oh, PG, yeah, yeah.
They're very nonchalant about the killing of random people. because yeah. they have these guns that just disintegrate people, and they use them fairly freely and on innocent bystanders.
The bad, but it's the bad guys doing it, not the good guys.
No, it is the bad guys doing it, but that's not necessarily a PG kind of vibe, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Again, I'm sorry. What is repeated so many different times in so many different ways, which you could sit down, and this is a girl who would be open to everything you tell her.
Right, and they won't tell her anything.
And there's no reason that they won't tell her anything because they think she's the one that might be able to solve everything. You want to get her on board as much as possible. And the only reason that they believe in this, I actually like that because there's a hint of faith with this movie in the sense of like the reason that they believe she can help. Well, one, it's her DNA, which is terribly underexplained once again, and it's just another thing of like gizmos do stuff, which this movie is filled with. Mm-hmm. But then the other is just like a little blip on the radar.
Mm. She has kind of thing. She has hope.
She has hope, and that can make the future better. That's right. But yeah, otherwise it was just kind of like
and again, it promises have that glimpse that she has early on of the great Tomorrowland, and then we don't get to have that.
All right. Did you see the pools in Tomorrowland?
Yeah, those were cool.
Really? Like, what's that? What are we doing inventing those in Tomorrowland? Why are those pools interesting and needed?
Well, who says they're needed? Who says they're needed? Just be, in the words of young Frank, can it just be fun?
How dare you? How dare you throwing that back at me, young Frank? Blah. It was all just blah with moments of entertainment and moments of, well, that looks cool. But it doesn't work in the sense of a cohesive story that takes you along on a wondrous adventure.
Yeah, it is underwhelming. But not bad. I'm still mostly enjoyed it, and I'm giving it a B-.
I'm giving it a 5 out of 10. I'd rather not ever see this movie again.
Well, I won't. I won't force you. Then there's also a big wide release called Poltergeist. Now, this is a remake of another film you may have heard of called Poltergeist.
What was that one called?
It's called Poltergeist. Yeah.
All right.
And Poltergeist is great. One of my all-time favorite scary movies. And this remake, apparently.
Everybody's allowed to be a little nervous.
Yeah, because they're not showing it to critics for the most part. There are some screenings. There's some screenings Thursday night, the night before it opens, which in some cities critics are not invited to. Mm. I forget. Did you get invited to yours or not?
Yeah, but I'm going to the Cubs Padres baseball game.
Of course. And here in Portland, we didn't hear. I assume that if I asked about it, I would either be told no, I'm not allowed to go, or told that it doesn't exist. Anyway, so it's like it hasn't been screened at all. People have not seen it. I haven't seen advertisements. I don't watch a lot of live TV, but I have not seen like a lot in the way of marketing.
True.
I agree. So we're all nervous about it, but we also, you and I, are both very curious about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious for I think one main reason. Sam Rockwell's in.
You want to see if he dances in it. And I'm curious because I love the original Poltergeist. And so we're gonna see it Thursday night, and we'll edit it into the show seamlessly here in this spot right here.
Right.
Seamless. Okay, now we've seen Poltergeist, and this has been inserted seamlessly into the show. You probably didn't even notice. Jeff has a head injury, and he's drinking.
Oh, so it's the best.
So you know it's
late. It's the best of both worlds.
Late at night. Now, Poltergeist... yeah, Sam Rockwell and Rosemary DeWitt and some
kids. No, 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 no.
What? No?
Poltergeist? No, it's with Craig T. Nelson. What are you doing?
No, there's this new one. There's this new one that we just saw, remember?
Oh. The head.
Yeah, the head injury. Sam Rockwell, Rosemary DeWitt, and the three kids. And they move into a haunted house. And and bad stuff tries to get them. Poltergeist. You've seen Poltergeist. You know what the story is.
Mm-hmm. You know how you could look at a movie and see its original beats?
Yes.
And then you could make a new movie based on that original movie.
That's exactly what Rob Hunter and I were saying to each other. We had the same observation. That it's like you're just checking off the beats.
In every single situation, I'm not kidding by this. In every single situation of the major themed beats, they just slightly chose poorly. In every single one. There was zero improvement.
No improvement at all.
So it's that weird thing of like you can talk about this movie as just like, oh, here's a horror movie from that takes place in, you know, 2015 and that's it.
Yeah.
Or you can talk about it in the sense of like, well, let's compare it to the first. So what would you like to do, Eric D. Snyder?
Well, there's no point in comparing it to the first. It's not as good as the first. And there's no point in pretending that we haven't seen the first because we have seen the first. If you haven't seen the first one, then I feel like this would be one of the several generic, harmless, not scary but not offensive, kind of forgettable scary movies that'll come out this year.
Totally and utterly. It's weird how mild this film is.
It thinks it's very intense though, and it checks off all the beats of the original story, but it always mm-hmm. gives us too much. Like, oh well, yep, there's the tree. Oh, it's like we're seeing a lot of that tree. Yeah. Oh, there's the
that tree might matter later.
Wow, there's that creepy clown doll. Oh yep, we sure are seeing a lot of that creepy clown doll. And it's too much, and with no sense of they don't build any tension or suspense to just sort of throw it all out there.
You know what's really weird? So here's one major change, comparing it to the first already. Here's one thing that the film does. They have this family, and what they decide is the strongest connection, at least for the majority of the film, is between the little girl that we barely get a sense of.
Right.
And then her slightly older brother, who is considered odd by the rest of the family.
Well, he's a scaredy cat. He's afraid of everything.
But – and here's the thing. Besides that odd tone, we don't get anything about him. It's not like he's a seer, or it's not like
he's got nothing special about
insight
him.
Or anything else like that. It's just that the parents think he's a little odd, and they use that in one single sentence, and that's it. And that's the connection of the film that we're supposed to care about. But the problem with that is we're then stuck with the kid saying, oh, mom, dad, why don't you listen to me? I've seen something. And the parents just blowing it off. And the parents aren't really connected here. And out of everything, like if you just look at the list of actors, here's what you should care about. You should care about Sam Rockwell. You should care about Rosemary DeWitt. And then you should potentially care about Jared Harris if you're a fan of Mad Men or whatever. And they're just given such limited things to the point where it's just like, all right, well, what are we doing? If you're not going to scare me and if you're not going to entertain me, what are we all doing here?
That's a good question. At exactly the halfway point is when the parents finally accept that, oh, scary things are happening. Like, okay, the movie's exactly half over. Now we move to the second half where the paranormal people come in and investigate. And then that all happens the way it should. They've modernized things in that now they have GPS and cell phones, and they can send a drone into the other dimension.
Hang on. That is the one update that is slightly interesting is the fact that they attempt to use GPS.
Right.
They don't use it well, but at least they acknowledge it.
Well, they send the drone into the other dimension first, and then that doesn't work, so they have to send a person.
Here's – like at any point was it like, oh, yeah, static on iPads and static on high-def TVs. This is not – this doesn't – there's no comprehension of that.
Doesn't make technological sense. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense at all for this to be happening. So it doesn't translate. So there's nothing nervous about it.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, why is that happening?
Hang on. We've been talking about this stupid, forgettable movie for 6 minutes, which is 6 minutes too long. What do you give it?
Oh, really? We're done?
Oh, yeah, we're done. Yeah. I don't ever want to think about it again.
Yeah, it's a 3 out of 10.
All right. C.
What?
Like I said, it's inoffensive. It's harmless. It's not scary. But
it is.
I was only bored with it because I kept comparing it to the like really good movie called Poltergeist.
So I brought my friend to it. Mm-hmm. He was nice enough to come. He's a night owl, much mm-hmm. like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we did a little. He did more than I did. A little pre-drinking. We went mm-hmm. to the ball game. The Cubs were in town for the Padres.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He fell asleep 3 times during this movie.
Yeah.
Snored 3 times during this movie. I had to do the old, give him the elbow 3 different times, which was hilarious. I loved doing it because it like made me present for everything that was going on in the moment, because otherwise I would have just simply drifted off. Oh.
It was well past your bedtime, I know.
Actually, I'm doing okay. It's currently 11:31.
We had a guy at my screening. In the row is us, a guy and his girlfriend, and the guy was wearing shorts, and he had taken off his flip-flops, had his feet up on the seat in front of him, and his girlfriend was rubbing his foot and up his leg.
Is this person's name Gary?
No, it was not. No, it wasn't anybody we know.
Oh.
No, this is just weird. Strangers. So that was weird.
Actually, you know what? No. Let's talk a little bit more specifically about this movie. Let's just do it.
All right.
Here's the thing. They did nods to the first film. By one of the big things was maggots and peeling a face off while dealing with a steak. That was a big thing in the 82 film.
Right.
Here, they do a little bit of CGI and just a little bit of vomit with worms, and that's it.
Yeah, they did all the stuff from the first one. They sort of redid it, but different and not better. We said that already.
How did you feel about the drill?
I didn't like it.
Because this movie thought the big moment, the big scares were using this drill with this guy that we didn't care about.
I mean, that was, you know, it was, that drill might get him. And then it, I guess, wasn't really a drill after all, or wasn't happening or something, I guess.
All right, there we go. There's the hot take I was looking for. Now we can wrap it up.
Mm-hmm. And the paranormal investigators were more freaked out by the stuff than the family was. The family was more just sort of... put out.
I was so annoyed when
they wanted their daughter back. They're not nearly as scared as they ought to be.
When Sam Rockwell was like, "We can't call the cops," I was like, "Oh, I'm done. Whatever logic you're attempting to use here, it's just not working."
Yeah. Yeah. All right. There you go. That's Poltergeist. That was our Poltergeist review. Just there. That was our Poltergeist review. We just did that, and so that's why the show is a little bit late. Being posted on Friday, by the way, as you hear this a little bit later than usual. That's why. And now you saw this other movie called Good Kill that I had a screener for and didn't get around to.
Good Kill. Speaking of chugging vodka.
Yeah.
That's what Ethan Hawke does for, I don't know, a quarter, maybe a third of this movie. Mm. All right. So here's the whole thing. He used to be an Air Force fighter pilot.
What is he now?
Now he controls drones in a suburb of Las Vegas.
He controls drones for the military or just on his
own? For the military. All right. That's got to be
safer than being out there actually flying the planes.
It's 100% safer.
I would think so, yeah.
He, although, is wired to be a fighter pilot, and he doesn't feel... this is giving him the same feeling.
Sure,
And in general, it's based on a true story or actual events, mm-hmm. I think is what it says. So that's always suspect. But it takes place in 2010, actual events. And it really does show you how impersonal drone strikes are.
Yeah.
And it's mainly the viewpoint of this character, Ethan Hawke, by the name of Thomas Egan.
Mm-hmm.
And his family, his wife, January Jones, mm-hmm. Who's, you know, it's kind of that thing of like, wow, it felt different when you would go away. You were away and then you'd come back. And now it's like you have a 9-to-5 doing this.
You're always here. You're just here killing people from the house.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it feels weird. And they talk about that a little bit. They talk about how he misses the fear and the risk. Mm-hmm. You know, how some guys are like totally into this and it feels a hint like a video game and some aren't.
Right.
It's all of those things. It feels like just like Thomas Egan doesn't want to be in this world. You don't necessarily want to be in this world either. Mm-hmm. Because it's all kind of, just about a guy stuck.
Yeah.
And showing you, this ugly side that serves a purpose that makes you just kind of go like, wow, maybe we shouldn't be figuring out how to make war more impersonal and right. safer, but trying to figure out how to not have war right. a little bit more. Because to me, the whole movie just kind of rings, and it's directed by Andrew Niccol, who did Gattaca mm-hmm. With Ethan Hawke. It constantly rings of like, yeah, what are we doing? Where are we headed? This isn't necessarily pretty, especially when the CIA decides to start leading their missions, and it becomes even more like, yeah, we got a hunch about some people.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Now we got a hunch about these people. And then those people that are trying to rescue those people, we got a hunch about them too.
Right.
And it just – it unfortunately, you just kind of feel stuck in this. And while it's interesting and slightly enlightening, it's not captivating in the sense of watching this alcoholic Air Force pilot functioning in this world. You wanted it either to go really dark – or somehow be a little bit lighter and more entertaining. So it's a 5 out of 10. It's just kind of stuck there in the middle. And once again, January Jones, with her big moments, does not hit a home run.
You know why that is? Because she's a terrible actress.
I think that might be the case.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We've seen ample evidence.
But don't worry, somebody compliments her on her beauty in this film. She's still got that going for her.
She is pretty.
Well, I just want to let the record stand. Mm-hmm. You know, that might be part of the reason that she keeps getting employed as an actress.
Maybe so.
Maybe.
So those are some movies.
Bruce Greenwood's in the movie.
I see that on IMDb.
That helped a little bit. Mm-hmm. That helped a little bit, yeah.
And now question of the week was the question that we asked.
What?
I'm pulling up the old Facebook page here.
Question of the week was what amusement park what amusement park element, such mm-hmm. as a ride, a game, an attraction, or an etcetera, should be made into a movie? Be creative is what we said to you.
That is what we said.
We insisted upon it, and you guys were. By the way, is it I've never seen this name before, have I? Luwain?
Luwain. That's what it looks like. Luwain.
I don't think I've ever seen Luwain written before in my entire life.
Yeah, that's not really a name. Pretty sure.
Oh, wait. So is this person real?
No, what's the person is real, but his parents made up his name, Luwain.
Oh. Luwain said, "I suspect the Barnstormer, which I was referring to, / Graviton ride in Iowa, is the silly silo that was until recently at Adventureland in Altoona, Iowa." Everything he said is absolutely correct. It right. was the silly silo.
And he is that where it was?
Altoona,
Iowa.
Yep,
that's the place.
It's Altoona, Iowa is somewhat outside of Des Moines, Iowa. To give everybody a reference, because everybody knows where Des Moines, Iowa is.
Yeah, and everybody knows where Iowa is.
It's in the center. It's in the center of the center of
Whatever.
The center.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's Iowa. Pretty much.
And then Matthew suggests the Gravitron as a slasher horror movie, where the survivors are trapped in the center and the killer is on the edge, trying to fight his way to the center, gradually overcoming the centrifugal force. Either that or a movie of one person's fight for survival to reach the center before they had become trapped in the operatorless spinning machine. I like the idea of the killer. Or I don't know if you could do a whole movie, but
no, I know
a sequence anyway. Yeah, in there where the killer trying to fight centrifugal force to get to the middle.
Are there like horror movies that take place in amusement parks? Are there a ton of them? Shouldn't there be a ton of them?
There must be. I'm sure there are set specifically like in the carnival where it's killing people on the carnival
rides.
Yeah, it's
just like, it's after hours or, it's abandoned.
There's got to be one like that.
How is there not a reoccurring series of these, but yet we have Infinity Saws? Jeffrey says, Corn Maze. It's open water meets cube.
Oh, okay.
A group of friends get lost in a corn maze that appears to be infinite in every direction.
Oh.
Some monster is slowly killing them off. But is it real or has one of them lost their minds? Yep, I'm in. I'll watch Corn Maze.
Sure.
Corn is freaky as all heck. And corn not because I'm from Iowa.
Corn
it's
is
because
inherently frightening.
Children of the Corn.
Children of the Corn. Because it's the tallest vegetable. It's the vegetable that's easiest to get lost in.
Tallest and very dense. When you're in it, you realize, wait a minute, I can't see like 5 feet this way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Ugh. We had when I was a kid for a while, we had a backyard garden and we had some corn. It was only like a 4x4 foot square patch of corn.
Oh. Is this where you lost two of your siblings?
Yes.
It?
Yeah. Because,
still haven't been found.
Yeah. No, because of the demons in there.
Yeah.
They were the
demons.
Children of the corn. You know, it is Louane. Louane, that's French for the Wayne. I just figured it out.
It's Le Wayne.
Le Wayne.
Le Wayne El White.
John suggests, of course, carnies. It could be any genre, really. Mystery, romance. I don't think it'd be – well, I don't know. I don't know about a romance carny movie. I feel
Steve Buscemi could finally play down his looks in a movie.
Yeah, I feel like in all likelihood, the Carney movie would be a horror. Steph points out that it was superbly dealt with recently by American Horror Story Freak Show. I agree with all that except for the adverb superbly. But yes, it was
Stuart,
set at a freak
Stuart
show.
Actually says Carney is the horror film. It comes out that all the missing children in the world have been abducted by Carneys. The Carneys use their power of funnel cake and cotton candy to convert normal kids into toothless Carneys. And then there's something about seizing the world and hypnotic powers of rides. But yeah.
I'm on board.
Uh-huh.
I'm researching right now whether there is a carnival movie, like a horror movie.
Okay. All right. We have – let's see – Michael just simply says it's a small world, a horror movie. there could be something. Oh, that was actually Small World was
featured in Tomorrowland. Yeah.
Yeah. Not great. I was just like, all right, fine. Seems excessive. seems like there was an easier way to get people to this special place, but all right, fine.
Not that we'd have a Disney connection in the Disney movie. is that the one you said? Scott says It's a Small World with the theme song playing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's playing through the entire 2-hour, 40-minute movie starring Mel Gibson, who is looking to recapture his youth by riding this ride constantly until he finds his answers. No, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do that.
Let's see. Dallas says the Universal Studio Tour, The Ride. A want-to-be movie writer, played by Andrew Garfield, leaves the Universal Studio Tour to find a studio head and give him his script. He gets lost and finds himself in different movie universes where the only way out of the movie universe is to finish the movie. Shoot the barrel in Jaws' mouth, fly a plane, and shoot King Kong off the Empire State Building.
Interesting.
Shot similar to Forrest Gump in Back to the Future, when he is in the Psycho universe, he will be interacting with Anthony Perkins and Janet Leigh. Movies involved would be Psycho, Jaws, King Kong, Earthquake, and Back to the Future.
Interesting.
You know, I'm going to watch Earthquake for the first time coming up here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, for an article. I've never seen it. The only issue, and I think it's an easy one, is because this movie writer would be in the film,
mm-hmm.
It would have to kind of drastically change the film because we're so familiar with all of the beats with these movies that we wouldn't simply want to just be like, oh, look at him along for the ride of doing what we already know that he has to do. So it would have to be a very quantum leap thing. Where he messes it up and he has to right the wrongs
that
he messed up.
Yeah.
And then finish it.
Or in some cases, maybe he could fix those movies. like fix the flaws in some of the, well, Jaws didn't really have any.
Yeah, Back to the Future. Maybe he just leans over and is like, Marty, maybe a little less accidentally trying to hook up with your mom.
Right, maybe less of that.
Maybe less of that, Marty.
Oh, then Ken also suggests the spinning gravity ride.
Mm.
That's the name brand movie will be called Gravitron. Like the cheap knockoff that goes straight to DVD will just be called Spinning Gravity Ride. And he says the movie would be about a mad scientist who invents a device that makes the Earth spin faster, causing Earth's gravity to go berserk, and it's up to the heroes to stop it. Now we're talking, where it's the whole Earth that's spinning too fast. So that means time is going faster, too. People are aging faster because the world is spinning.
That would be good.
All right. Yeah.
But then, wait. Oh, this is awful to say. If we're all aging faster, are we aware that we're aging faster?
Yeah, because I think it's happening so fast because it's also the Earth is spinning so fast that centrifugal force is, like, weighing us down. It's like we notice. We notice how fast the Earth is spinning. So we'd have – you know what it would be? It would be a matter of we'd have a couple of days or else it'll make everybody die of old age. Like, that's how fast it's going.
All right.
Ticking clock. Ticking clock. There is
– I'm really hung up on Universal Studio Tour of the Ride. Like, I want to keep imagining, like, being in these movies and what I would do.
The problem is that you're stuck with the actual movies that are on the Universal Studios tour.
I know.
Which, as you mentioned, is sort of an eclectic mix of. It's like, but oh, then, great but, ones like Back to the Future and Jaws and Earthquake.
All right. So you would just pitch this to all the different studios, and whichever one says yes, then you get their catalog.
There you go, yeah.
And then you invent the ride that maybe one day would actually become a ride. Who knows?
There was a film in 1981 called The Fun House, directed by Tobe Hooper. He was the guy who...
You need not say more. Everybody knows who that guy is.
No, a lot of people do.
Oh.
He was... he made the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Goodness. Here goes street cred.
There you go, right?
Ever looking
right?
For it. Done.
The funhouse that it involves four teenagers who become trapped in a dark ride at a local carnival and are stalked by a deformed killer. That sounds like about what we'd be after here.
Yeah. That's another one that I want like every 5 years. Yeah. different teenagers in an amusement park. Killer. Done.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. That's the thing. There should be if I was the czar of Hollywood, then there would be certain things where it was just like you just have to pencil it that kind of movie in, and you know it's happening every 2 or 3 years.
Right, and we would soon overthrow you as the czar because that would
because
happen, and we would get sick of those movies. We would say, "What did we do? Why did we think we wanted one of these every couple of years? What were we thinking?"
Yeah. Superhero movies, what? We're what? No way. We don't want those scheduled years in advance forever and ever.
I don't. Do you?
Yeah, but it's happening and the public is gobbling it up. So we might as well give them some good ones.
Gobbling it up for now until a couple of years they'll be sick of it.
It'll bust. Nobody's made a dime on superhero movies.
It's gonna be that bubble is gonna burst. You mark my words.
Who cares? If it bursts, that means one or two movies will not make money.
But it also means that they'll stop making them, or at least stops making so
for
many
a little
of them.
Bit, or they'll just try a different way.
So your attitude is, since Hollywood has a terrible mindset, let's just do that. Let's embrace that and keep scheduling the same kinds of movies over and over again. I'm just saying, you think you want that, but you don't. It's a monkey's paw.
See, you're right, because the way that I want it is I want it to be good.
Right, and that won't,
like,
that won't happen.
All of these movies are good, in my opinion.
It won't happen that way.
Right. All right.
And I think even if most of them are good, I just feel like, maybe it's just me, I get tired of the sameness. Even if it's good same, you know.
I hear you.
I don't know. Let's first get you to be the czar of Hollywood, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay. As long as that's a goal that we both have now. What's the ride where you're in the circle in the Raging Rapids? Is it Raging Rapids? Something like that, where you're all in the circle and, like, you're worried about getting wet and not getting wet.
The circular, the round
inner tube
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a few. There's one of those at Disneyland California Adventure that I can't think what it's called.
That's I want that, but I want it to transport you into like the Amazon.
That would be fun.
And like, you know, some people knew each other, but otherwise it's a group that just like, wait, why are we all here? And then at the end, you realize how everybody was connected.
Like Lost?
Yeah, just like Lost. No, it's like it's something like where it's like, oh, we're all a part of the Amazon. Let's save the rainforest together. The end.
That doesn't sound fun at all.
Well, I just thought of it this very second. But I like the idea of that transport in you.
Yeah.
And then, bam.
Yeah, that would be good. Many, many fine options. Many, much potential creativity.
Everybody, you know what that means. Eric didn't do the homework.
Carnival of Blood, also won, 1972. A serial killer finds irritating women on a carnival ride and murders them in gruesome ways.
I wonder how irritating we would find these women. That's pretty bold to just be like, oh yeah, there's a bunch of irritating women.
Yeah, movie. I don't know who wrote that. I don't know if that's a Wikipedia summary. But
the director and writer are just like, do you hate women? I hate women. Let's do this.
Well, I did. That's one thing I was appreciated about most of the Friday the 13th and Halloween movies. Is that most of the characters, the teenagers, as soon as you met them, you hope they got killed.
Yeah.
And I could never – sometimes like it was intentional and sometimes I don't think it was. But that was the effect. It was like you were never too sad when Jason killed somebody.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yes. Do you have a suggestion? Oh, that was yours. The circular thing, the inner tube thing. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Question of the week for next week is?
We're going to do a new Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore. If you guys don't know what Mount Rushmore is, you go to moviebs.com and you look at the little menu thing and then you click on Mount Rushmore and then you understand.
Mm-hmm.
This week's Mount Rushmore question of the week is
your four favorite summer blockbusters.
That's it.
Yeah. And summer, meaning it was released in the summertime. And we'll say May through August. That's summer.
Sure.
And yeah, just your favorite summertime movies. Not necessarily movies about summer, but some movies that came out in the summer.
And we're using the word blockbuster. So, you know, before sunrise and before sunset.
Right.
Not necessarily blockbusters, yeah. People.
You know what my blockbusters. You know, the big movies.
You know.
You know what we're talking about.
And Eric,
You
cannot list Forrest Gump for all four choices.
Neither can you, since you're the one who likes that terrible movie. I'm just going to say Independence Day four times.
So would me back when it came out, the second after it's over.
Oh, we've talked about that.
Oh, yeah, we have.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us your four favorite summer blockbusters, and we'll tally up all the results and compile the Mount Rushmore, and then we'll know definitively what the four favorite summer blockbusters are.
Mm-hmm.
That'll
now,
be great.
I'm assuming that we're not going to make people have seen the movie in the theater like during their lifetime, right?
No,
like,
I don't think that matters. It doesn't matter. No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
All right. I almost forgot. There was somebody emailed us with the amusement park, a pitch.
Okay, open up the mailbag.
Yeah, Noah in Tulsa says, "Here's the pitch: an animated love story between two turnstiles." Voiced by Chris Pratt and Kristen Schaal. Also starring Morgan Freeman as the wise old ticket booth and Weird Al Yankovic voicing the evil Mickey Mouse lawn arrangement. Oh, like the shrub in the shape of Mickey Mouse?
Oh, okay.
I guess. It seems, I don't know what the story is there, this love story between the two turnstiles.
Huh.
But I like that you're thinking outside the box, Noah of Tulsa.
So...
Because they can't move. They can never be together, really, but...
They're looking to line up perfectly, and they never do?
Maybe, yeah.
The timing's off for the turnstiles.
Yeah, maybe so.
Just a little bit off.
Well, we'll work on that, but thank you. And what reminded me of that is, as you answer our new question of the week, the Mount Rushmore, you can email your responses to moviebspdx@gmail.com, or you can just post them on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those are options.
Yeah. And once again, we are considering and thinking about doing something with the agents in the future, the old MovieBS agents.
Yeah, we used to have a different agent in every city or every region.
In America, that's right.
But we remember we would only have one per place.
Right. It would be claimed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We want
and,
to
do, and we're thinking about doing something.
We want to activate all of those sleeper agents.
That's right. It might be time.
Mm-hmm. Let's update the summer box office challenge.
Are you sure you want
for
to?
For the folks. Well, you know, yes, because I you know, you got off to a great start. You had
Thank you.
Avengers Age of Ultron. And again,
it's
for
no,
those
it's no big deal, guys.
For those
I,
just,
I mean you I picked
won,
it.
You won whatever. The you won the coin toss, yes, and you picked that. Good going. If you're just joining us, we're counting up, we're adding up the opening weekend box office for each of these movies. Avengers, of course, was huge. But then now I've had three movies. I had Hot Pursuit, which we don't need to talk about. And then Pitch Perfect 2, which made $69 million. Mm-hmm. And then Mad Max Fury Road, $45 million. So now I have – you've got $191 million, and I am catching up with $128 million.
All right. So a couple things that people need to know. Your first pick was Pitch Perfect 2, correct?
Right, yes. Which made $69 million.
Do you believe any movies on your list will make more than $69 million opening weekend?
I could see San Andreas doing that.
You don't think Jurassic World will?
Jurassic World, maybe. Those would be the two that I think maybe could.
Those maybe could.
Yeah. And now this weekend I have Poltergeist and Tomorrowland. Oh man, why did I think Poltergeist was going to be big? It's weird. Just a few weeks ago, I thought it was going to be a big deal. I had not realized yet how much they were dumping.
Well,
it.
Here's the thing. For the most part, if you look over the previous summers, one horror movie makes a difference.
Yeah, but it's usually been one that we didn't expect.
That is true. That is true. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So wait, how do you currently feel? Do you feel like you are on pace? Do you feel like you are losing, or do you feel like you are winning?
I feel like I am the underdog, but that I am not out of it.
I couldn't feel more confident right now.
I'm sure. You always couldn't feel more confident.
It's even more than that.
Even more than usual.
More than the usual confidence that I am having right now.
Yeah, I have Poltergeist in Tomorrowland, and then next week I got San Andreas. So then I will have had six movies.
To my one.
To your one, and then things will really get interesting. Then so you'll be catching up with me.
Do you know what your total is? Did you say it? I can't remember.
$128 million.
So do you believe after this weekend you will be in the lead?
After this weekend, after Poltergeist in Tomorrowland...
Do you think Poltergeist and Tomorrowland will make a little bit more than $60 million combined?
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, because I could see Tomorrowland being $40 or $50
million. We should consider this for the future. We'll see how this plays out.
Mm-hmm.
If we feel like there is one movie that is just the clear cut, well, that's going to make all of the money.
Right.
In other words, if there happens to be a summer where there is a Star Wars and nothing else,
okay,
in comparison,
right,
we should consider talking about that beforehand and throwing it out.
Oh, interesting.
Because I worry that I've just made the summer box office challenge just pointless by picking Avengers, and now there's just no fun in it, and it's an obvious whipping that I have given you.
We'll have to look and see if the other years that we've done it, because there was the other Avengers movie that was huge, and I don't remember.
Then there was a Harry Potter year.
I can't remember if the person who had those was the one
right.
who won the contest.
Right.
I know that last year you had the biggest weekend of the summer, which mm-hmm. was Transformers, and you still lost.
That's right. That's right. We'll have to do some historical digging after I sweep up what remains of you.
Yeah,
I already know the majority of the temporary tattoos that I will be making and applying to your body.
Well, all right.
That's one of the things,
mm-hmm.
people. It's
yeah.
one of the stakes. You can see all the stakes at our Facebook page at the latest posting. All of our movies and the release date and blah, blah, blah.
Everything that ever happened since the world began. Hey, let's play, have a little fun, a little adventure we haven't done in a while.
Yeah.
Let's play Jeff and Eric's Excellent Adventure. The way we do this is we travel back in time, like Bill and Ted did. We're going to travel back to this same weekend So May, whatever the weekend is, 22nd or so, in another year. How do we choose the year? Do we do the random? I do the random thing, don't I? Random.
You do the random.
I'm going to tell it. What should my
1983, I think, is as far back as we're willing to go. 1983, and then we want to go at least 5 years ago.
So up to 2010. Right? All right.
2010.
Here is our random year. Ooh, 1993.
Oh, yes. I was hoping.
That was a fine summer. What came out this weekend in 1993? Well, I bet I could. Well, I don't know if I remember.
How do we do this again? Do we go to weekend first?
The Box Office Mojo and the weekend. Right. Now, let's see. This, of course, was the summer of Jurassic Park, which actually, that had not come out yet. That didn't come out till June, I think, as I recall. In May of 93, there we had, all right, May 21st.
Yep.
Oh, Sliver. Sliver and Hot Shots Part 2 were the two big wide releases, new releases.
Raise your hand if you saw both of those movies in the theater.
No.
Yep.
Not me.
I did.
I saw Hot Shots. I did not see, and I think to this day have not seen Sliver.
What?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
It's
post Basic Instinct, Sharon Stone.
Right.
Desperation to see more of her. Because we hadn't seen enough of her in that film.
I feel like we saw Oliver.
No, Oliver wasn't in that movie. That was like a musical or something, wasn't it?
Wah, wah.
Hot Shots Part 2. Some people consider it better than the first. I do not, although I did laugh.
That was my opinion at the time. I don't think I've seen the first Hot Shots since then, though, since those days. We should rewatch them both. Well, then I should on my own.
Okay. Wow. And then so those both opened. They both in Sliver beat Hot Shots Part 2, 12 million to 10 million.
Not a very big weekend.
No. When was summer back then?
Well, you know, that's the also
late,
well, that's,
late June. To
no, that's
early
also summer. Thing. In those days, summer began Memorial Day weekend, which would have been the following weekend, and it was cliffhanger.
Crazy. There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger. Anyway, I did see it.
No. Hey, stop it. Stop it. Focus on this weekend. That's not how we play. We can't go into the future once we've been into the past.
That's a good point.
And then there was Dave. Dave was in its third weekend.
Dave had opened 2 weeks earlier. That was a good movie. I did not
see Dave in the theater.
Dave is
the one I missed.
Indecent Proposal I didn't see until much later. What is Posse? Posse, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding? Here comes the Posse. Shoot him up. Shoot him up. It's the Posse. The Posse is Mario Van Peebles.
It's not the Posse. It's just Posse. Grandma.
No, that's the song. There's a song called the Posse in the movie Posse.
Okay.
Mario Van Peebles.
Yeah, that's he directed it.
Directed it and wrote it, probably. He's got one of the sweetest – I don't know. It's probably
Western. It's a Western.
Yeah, I know. It's like a skinny cigar that he smokes during the movie. I loved that thing.
Black
kind of look – oh, so good.
Yeah, Black Soldiers, Corrupt Colonel. It's 1898. Oh, the Buffalo
Who
Soldiers.
Who else is in it? Who else is in it?
You got your Marvin Peebles, Stephen Baldwin, Big Daddy Kane, Tone Loc.
Yep.
Blair Underwood. And the token white guy, Billy Zane.
Oh, man.
Well, I guess Stephen Baldwin would be another token white
guy. Indecent Proposal I saw in the theater. Dragon, which was in fourth place this week.
Bruce Lee.
The Bruce Lee story. I don't think I've ever – I haven't seen it.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
No. Lost in Yonkers, I did not see in the theater, but I remember watching it on video later on with my friend Nick because it was based on a Neil Simon play, and we were theater nerds.
At 10, we'll get to some others. At 10, Groundhog Day making a million. Yeah, it had been in the theater for 15 weeks at this point already. That's sweet.
Still going
Groundhog
strong.
Day. I forgot that it didn't even make like 80 million at the box office.
Benny, you
think back of it and you think, oh, that's a $100 million comedy.
Benny and June, I did. That was in its sixth week of release. And I saw it in the theater probably right around this weekend, like sometime in May is what it would have been when I saw it, because I remember this was after my first year at college, and now I was home for the summer, and I went and saw it with a girl that I had known at college who lived not too far away from me. We had a little date and went and saw Benny and June, and it was fun.
I think I saw it on video, and I definitely am positive the ending made me cry.
What is Sidekicks? Is that Karate Kids or something, right? Isn't it?
I totally forgot about this movie. A bullied teen who fantasizes about being Chuck Norris's sidekick trains in martial arts to fulfill his dream.
Yes, with Jonathan Brandis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Oof. Wait, wait, what, really? Why does say? Well, it came out in April of 93, but on IMDb, or Wikipedia, it says 92.
Huh.
That's strange.
That is strange.
That must be a mistake.
Anyway.
I'm sure it's terrible, right?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Starring Chuck Norris.
I want to say I probably saw that one this summer. Indian Summer was still hanging out in the theaters. I liked Indian Summer.
I don't know what that is either.
What? A bunch of people that went to camp, then revisit that camp years later. Kevin Pollak is in it. Bunch of others. All right. It's good. It's worth. It's a very hangout kind of movie. Just nice. That's how I remember it. I felt like I was hanging out with adults when I watched it back in '93.
That must have been nice.
Yeah.
I went to the movies a lot the summer of '93, and like I saw most of the big stuff. But yeah, here at this point in the summer, It was early in the summer, rather.
Yeah.
I wasn't seeing a lot of these yet. Hmm. In the weeks to come, though, sure. Your cliffhanger.
No, stop it. You cannot keep doing that.
The Jurassic Park in a few weeks, yeah. anyway, so that's how we play Jeff and Eric's Excellent Adventure. We traveled back in time and enjoyed some memories, some fond memories of years gone by.
Nice.
And that, our friends, brings us to the conclusion of the program. To recap, Tomorrowland is rather disappointing.
It is.
I liked it. I liked it a little bit better than you did, I think. But I.
Yeah, I don't think there's a.
Still.
Don't clamor. Don't go clamoring to see this movie.
Yeah, no, there's no reason to clamor.
No.
And then Good Kill, you said, is.
It's not worth it.
I wasn't listening when you were talking.
It's really not worth it.
All right. Good, because I was not listening.
Good.
You gave that a 5 out of 10, too, didn't you?
Yes.
Same as Tomorrowland. And then, of course, Poltergeist. You remember what we thought of that because we reviewed it earlier in the show.
Yep. That was a hot take.
Yeah, we stand by those hot takes. Hot steaming takes. A question of the week, tell us your four favorite summer blockbusters to help us compile our Mount Rushmore. And that's all, right? Am I forgetting anything?
You are not forgetting a thing.
Like you would know.
That's true.
So until next week, for Movie Ass with Baron Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Baer.
Thanks for listening and good day.
Good day. Oh, whoops, I said good day.
There you go.
Whew.